Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we'll share a fascinating story about how Taylor Swift took over the travel industry in 2023, and Carnival Cruise Lines has banned two passengers for fishing from the balcony of their room. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'll restrain myself. Those stories next in the news.
I've done that, fishing from the balcony. You can't do that?
No. Oh. Apparently not.
Yeah. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, Sacramento Airport staff joins us to share some last-minute do's and don'ts in case you will be near the airport in the next 2 weeks.
We catch up to our friend consumer advocate Chris Elliott in Chile this week to talk new hotel competition and the Galapagos Islands. That's at 11:35.
Our odds and ends segment at 11:50 includes a trip out to the Imaginarium Light Show and Family Fun Center at Cal Expo. We'll fill you in on all that happening coming
Thank
up.
You. Thank you for the pleasure of your company, and welcome to today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica,
Solo, Seattle.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. It's been an entire week since we've been here last, but don't forget now, you can find podcasts and more always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, you were on the road and you've been enjoying yourself with some live entertainment. Tell us about it.
I have. You know, our buddy Jack Gallagher did his three shows last Saturday, and Clayton and I went out and saw the third show in the evening. You know, I just have to tell you, Tom, that was, first of all, the people who go to Jack's shows, and my understanding was all three were sold out. The people who go to Jack's shows are, they love Jack. So yeah. They would just about laugh at anything, never mind the fact that he's really funny. And the Massachusetts guys came, and part of their bit was comparing Massachusetts words and California words. And I wasn't sure how it would all work, but I will tell you, they each did a set, and then they did a set together. And it was really, really a lot of fun. And the B Street Theater, the Sophia, is, gosh, wow, what a great venue. I mean, I've been there before, but I just, this time it really impressed me that it was just a really great place to enjoy a show. So those who support that, thank you, because you've helped create something there that really is a special show space. Took some folks down to Palm Springs this week, a bunch of sports leisure travelers. You know, and we're going to talk about this in the news, you know, how much impact Taylor Swift has had on the travel economy. And in a small way, I took 70 folks down to Palm Springs to see a Barry Manilow Christmas concert. And just like Jack Gallagher in Sacramento, the folks in Palm Springs, which is where Mr. Manilow lives now with his partner, is they love him. He apparently did five concerts and took no compensation for him. All the money went to 24 local charities. He's done this before. A lady in the audience was explaining to me that they had a music room at a high school burned down. The kids lost all of their instruments and everything. Within a matter of a few days, Manilow was on the phone to his buddies, and they had organized a charity concert, and people were writing checks, and they rebuilt the music room and replaced the instruments. Point is, this guy really is a part of his community, and the people who live there know it. So when he puts on these Christmas concerts, it's a big love fest. And it was just, you know, listen, I know Barry Manilow probably doesn't appeal to anybody listening to this program under the age of 40 or 50, but to those who are over that age, and he's such a great showman. He performs in Vegas all the time, and he commands the stage. He knows how to relate to an audience. He's just, he's like, it's like watching Sinatra in his prime. I mean, he just knows how to carry a show, and the people loved him. It was 90 minutes of pure fun, and I got to see it two nights in a row, so I was really lucky. But some really terrific entertainment. You don't get that lucky to see Gallagher and then a great entertainer like Barry Manilow, and audiences that both really enjoyed.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for the review. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we take time out to bring you up to date in the travel news. And with today's travel news, as always, here's Mark.
Hey, Tom, a little technical thing here we forgot to talk about. Will you make sure you let me get help me get out of the news so we have time for that interview in our Smarter Traveler segment?
Okay.
In Honolulu last weekend, I bring this up because this has been going on a lot, and our TSA friends told us that people are coming out to the airport having things in their bag they shouldn't and then saying, oh, my God, I didn't know that was in there. Their tip was to make sure you know your bag is empty before you leave home. It's hard for me to believe that somebody wouldn't know a loaded gun was in their bag, but a variation of that happened at the Honolulu airport last weekend when a TSA staff found a 50 caliber anti-aircraft round of ammunition in a carry-on bag. And so that caused a shutdown of the airport for almost 2 hours on Friday morning, simply because somebody thought that it was cute to bring a round of ammunition, and that for some reason that would be okay to bring that on an airplane. So please do all the rest of us a favor and make absolutely certain that if there's something that you think might be there at Travel Guys Radio, we have a link to the TSA website that will and to the page that tells you what you can and cannot bring on an airplane. So if there's any doubt in your mind, check that out, and don't be the person who makes the airport shut down for a couple hours. Maui, speaking of Hawaii, is reopening post-fires, but visitors are really staying away. This is really curious because right after the fires, everybody wanted to go there. Now that it's been a number of months and things have been cleaned up a little bit, of course, you still can't go roaming around Lahaina, but folks are not returning to Maui, and this is becoming a bit of a problem for the people who live and work there. Of course, Hawaii has a very tourism-related economy. Okay, a couple of things that I want to make sure that we have time for here. This is the Carnival Cruise Line story. Two guys apparently were fishing from the balcony of their room. A video, which has since been removed from TikTok, showed passengers on a Carnival ship fishing from their balcony and pulling a greenish-yellow fish measuring about a foot out of the water. While it remains unclear which ship the incident took place on, it appears to have been docked at the time of the incident. The video was posted by one of the now banned guests and garnered millions of views, has since been deleted. Who knew that you couldn't fish from your balcony on a carnival?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, what do you think that was? Yellowfin tuna, maybe? I don't know.
Who knows? Earlier this year, a Texas woman was banned for life from Carnival ships after she packed CBD gummies in a carry-on bag. So if you think that perhaps you can get something on board that you're not supposed to get on board, it appears as though Carnival has a system for shutting that down, but not so much fishing poles. So there you go. Taylor Swift took over the travel industry in 2023. We told you a couple weeks ago that she had to that an airline changed its ticket cancellation and rescheduling policy when one of her concerts in Buenos Aires was postponed because of weather. That was certainly an example of her impact on the travel industry. But here's some other statistics. Her U.S. leg of her tour, which spanned 20 cities over 5 months, brought in $5 billion in direct spending. The U.S. Travel Association estimates the entire impact of her U.S. tour could be as high as $10 billion. The city of Pittsburgh, for example, had 145,000 people in attendance for her two weekend concerts in June. Of those, only 17% were within Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is. So that means 6 out of 7 people who came to the Taylor Swift concerts in Pittsburgh came from outside the area. So there you go, plane tickets, hotel stays, restaurants, attractions. Countywide hotel occupancy in Pittsburgh for that period was up 31%, reaching 95%. Hotel rates ballooned 106% higher than a year earlier. The month of June broke the highest hotel tax revenue in the county's history. People like Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau have taken to social media to request Swift's tour to come to their country. This summer, her tour continues in Toronto, Vancouver, Sydney, Melbourne, Tokyo. There goes Mr. Trudeau's cities, Toronto and Vancouver, Tokyo, Singapore, Paris, Vienna, Warsaw, and London. This is just really quite phenomenal. The tour operator Contiki is offering combined tour and concert experiences for Swift's European tour. So if you're a Swiftie, you can't find a ticket. People are here's a company that scheduled a cruise and reserved 50 cabins for a Taylor Swift fan cruise experience. Important to know that. Important to know, Taylor Swift was not a part of this.
Right.
These are just people who love her who are getting together. The 50 cabins sold out quickly. They expanded it to 200 cabins. It's just unbelievable. But Taylor Swift is having not only a huge impact on the people that she sings music to, but those people are spending a lot of money and moving the travel needle in a lot of ways in the communities that she comes to. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating story, I thought. And then finally from our friends at Travel Pulse is a little story about how travelers could benefit from the Alaska and Hawaiian Airlines merger. Alaska, of course, proposed to merge with Hawaiian Airlines. It's about a $2 billion deal. We're waiting for the U.S. government right now to decide if Spirit and JetBlue can join forces. Listen, I don't care what anybody tells you. I challenge folks to be able to show me where an airline merger, America West is gone, U.S. Air is gone, all of these companies. That remember Western Airlines here on the West
sure.
Coast?
I did a jingle for Western Airlines.
Really?
Back in the 70s.
Wow. All of these Virgin America, all of these carriers that have disappeared from the landscape, and I don't see, no matter what anybody told me, I don't see where service is better, fares are lower, airlines are any easier to get along with. I don't see where any of that happened. So when Airlines for America, remember, that's the airlines lobbying group. So any time that you see something that has Airlines for America on it, know immediately that there's nothing objective about what they have to say. They represent the airlines. They're never going to tell you anything otherwise. So when you read about how the Alaska-Hawaiian Airlines merger could really help people, talk to people in Hawaii and ask them what happened when Aloha Airlines went out of business and Hawaiian was the only carrier flying between islands. Ask them what happened to fares when that happened. So I will suggest to you that mergers, maybe you can point to one or two that have been a benefit to the consumers, but from the airline division, I don't think so. So we'll keep an eye and see what happens between Hawaiian and Alaska. And that's your travel news for today.
There you go. That jingle I did must not have been a very good one since it went out of business. All right. Shouldn't even have brought it up. Okay. Quick note. I want to make sure that you know that the best place to go for a special Christmas dinner, Rudy's Hideaway. They got a Travel Guy special. You can only find it here. Travel Guy special is a 6-ounce lobster tail, rice pilaf, fresh vegetables, drawn butter, sourdough bread. I'm ready right now. Only $29.95. It's off the hook. So stop into Rudy's. Maybe a good time if you got guests coming from out of town. They're going to come visit and you want to really treat them to a really special meal. Take them to Rudy's. Have some clam chowder while you're at it. But take advantage of that Travel Guy special. $29.95 for a 6-ounce lobster and all the fixings.
A Sacramento institution and absolutely the best dining deal in town. Remember to mention the Travel Guys.
All right. Over off of Highway 50 near Hazel. Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember, links to our special guests today at TravelGuysRadio.com. And again, an opportunity to talk about our local airports. Scott Johnston, the Senior Public Information Officer for the Sacramento County Department of Airports, joins us along with Colm Marmion. I hope I got that right. Colm is the new Customer Service Officer for Sacramento International Airport. Guys, let's get started. First of all, let's talk about the holiday experience for travelers in and out of the airport this year. What do we have in store for them?
Sure, Tom, I can take that one. This is Colm, and I just wanted to showcase what we have going on this holiday season. Lots of holiday decor out in the terminals, and we have a partnership with Harlow's Entertainment, specifically California Capital Venue Coalition, to have a terminal music series. And we're going to be showcasing a variety of different local talents and genres post-security, in the post-security environment. And we're going to be showcasing that entertainment in 3-hour segments in high traffic and hotspot areas around the terminals. Not to mention, we also have our pet therapy teams in play, our boarding area relaxation corps. We have about 24 dogs positioned post-security as well with pet me vests. And we're encouraging guests to photograph themselves and interact with our dog handlers. And they're positioned right after the security checkpoint where everybody can actually take a breath and understanding that they've dealt with all the stresses of possibly getting to the airport and having a relaxation experience prior to their departure.
Cool. That sounds
awesome,
like fun.
Awesome. And then you've got some volunteers also at the airport that are perhaps going to assist not so frequent travelers with getting to the right places?
Definitely. Yeah. So Scott and I are encouraging our colleagues to get out of the office environment and where they're going to be dressed in safety vests and they're going to be interacting with guests. We're expecting, you know, upwards of 25,000 people on a daily basis starting next week. So we're going to get out of the desk environment and be a forward-facing personnel, and we will be just answering questions, but we'll be positioned at information desks with our airport ambassadors in the rideshare areas, our automated people mover stations, our shuttle islands. We're going to be helping with queue management. You know, most of the time you have these one-off, you have grandma and grandpa or kids coming home from college. They don't travel too often. So sometimes coming through Sacramento is a new environment. So we want to welcome them for one, but also, you know, provide some assistance along the way.
I've been in half a dozen, well, more than that, airports already this month and spent some time in Palm Springs just this past week. And I can tell you that you're correct. When you're not familiar with an airport, I mean, everybody knows that an airport has concessions and restrooms and security and baggage claim and ticket counters. And all airports have these things. But where the heck are they and how the heck do you get there? So those are, and we have more than our share of inexperienced travelers around the holiday season. So it sounds like that you folks have taken some real effort here to take a little bit of the stress out of travel. Scott, from the practicality standpoint, what's the number one thing they could do themselves to make their holiday experience at the airport a little bit less stressful?
You know, the most important thing that we always tell people is even before you leave your house, jump on our website, check the availability of our parking lots. We do anticipate lots being full, and also people, you know, sometimes have a lot that they choose that it's a kind of their favorite place to park, and that lot may not be available to them. So it's really important, you know, just give yourself plenty of time to get here, 2 hours for domestic flights, 3 hours for international, and check the parking availability. And so you know where you're going when you get here. We'll have plenty of signage and people out on the roadways to get you there, but, you know, allow plenty of time to do that.
Well, and if you're traveling in a vehicle with more than one person, that second person, as you approach the airport off-ramp, could be pulling up the website, pulling up the app and checking the parking situation. So you would go to the right parking lot first. The only reason I mention this is because twice now I haven't been that smart. And so it's cost me a little bit of time. As folks listen to this program know, Scott and Colm, we regularly tell people, if there's one place in your entire life you want to make sure you have enough time, it's the airport. Because it's a little bit of an unforgiving situation, especially flights are full, security lines, no matter what everybody does to make it as best as they can, are bound to be anywhere from a few minutes to 20 or 30 minutes longer, depending on what might have happened that day. So allowing plenty of time is really important. Scott, any other holiday travel do's and don'ts that you can think of that we should run by folks?
You know, one other thing that would really help us out if you are coming here to pick someone up is to utilize our free waiting area
It's just a few minutes drive from the terminals. We really would appreciate it if people could wait there for their party to come off the plane. Sometimes folks don't understand that from the time you land till the time you're out on the curb being ready to be picked up, it can take 20 to 30 minutes. So we would really like to keep the traffic down around the terminals. If you sit out at the free waiting area, as soon as they come out, they shoot you a text, you jump up and, you know, and you're there in a couple of minutes, and it would help really help us with the traffic congestion.
Yeah, that's really an excellent point in that. And there is signage that will take you to the waiting lots easily as you enter the airport. So if you're someone who hasn't been out the airport a whole lot, that would be something that you could look for on the way in. Colm, anything else that we've forgotten to remind folks about here for the upcoming holiday weeks?
Yes, just a thing to remember is that, you know, the TSA have recommended guests not to wrap gifts, especially when they're going through the security checkpoint. Sometimes gifts can make it through wrapped, but you will need to make sure that those gifts may, in fact, be unwrapped to see what's actually under wraps.
What an excellent piece of wisdom. Or when you wrap it in such a way that it could be opened easily. You know, put it in a box with a top and a bow or something like that. Yeah, good point. And also for those of you who don't travel through the airport regularly, TSA.gov has there's a website there that you can go to. We'll put a link at travelguysradio.com to both the airport and the TSA website so that you can make one last check. And remember Dale and Sid's recommendations from a couple of weeks ago, gang, and that is make sure you're starting with an empty suitcase. Many of the people who show up at security with things they're not supposed to have, including, heaven forbid, firearms, their excuse is, oh no, I didn't know that was in there. So make absolutely certain you're pulling out a suitcase that you haven't used for a couple years or something like that. Make sure all those side pockets are clear of any contraband before you head out to the airport. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today and for all of those excellent reminders for folks. I hope you survive the holidays. We'll talk to you again after the first of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Scott
Trump. To keep folks from taking the things they're not supposed to take to security. We reminded them enough times. And that tip about staying in the outside lot until you hear from the folks who have landed, that really helps a lot, too, because it relieves that congestion up by the terminal.
You've got the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, with you. Don't forget TravelGuysRadio.com for links to our special guests. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Links to our special guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And joining us again from far, far away, nationally recognized, world-recognized consumer advocate and friend of the Travel Guys, Chris Elliott. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. And you, Tom, you said nationally recognized and then, you know, worldwide recognized. Of course, yeah. He's been out of the country long enough that, you know, eventually they'll forget who the hell he is here. And he'll just be known in every other country on the planet. So, Chris, thanks for joining us here. I saw one of your recent posts at Elliott Confidential or Elliott.org. I forget which one, but you talked about hotels and how a couple of your readers had found that maybe some hotel services were coming back, perhaps on a little bit of a competitive nature. And I thought that was good news for travelers and wanted you to share. So go ahead.
Well, I thought it was really surprising when this reader wrote to me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, Chris, I was going to stay at a hotel in Las Vegas and it advertised itself to me as a hotel that doesn't have any resort fees. And I was really shocked by that because, you know, I don't think resort fees are something that hotels should be charging anyway. So they're using it actually to advertise and to differentiate themselves from the competition. And so he suggested that I take a look at this trend, see if other hotels were doing it. Sure enough, I found that a lot of hotels were advertising free breakfast, which of course is not free. It's included in your hotel room rate. And daily housekeeping, too. A lot of hotels are now saying, hey, we have daily housekeeping. And it got me to thinking, like, well, wait a minute. Isn't all this supposed to be included in your room already, that they clean your room and that they give you a breakfast, which is standard everywhere else except maybe in the United States, or that they don't give you an extra fee that you have to pay, a mandatory fee on top of your roommate? And while this is, as you say, good news that there are hotels that are doing this, it's also, in a way, shows just how far we've fallen from the old days when the United States was setting the gold standard for customer service, and hotels really did give you everything.
It's not to be lost on everyone in the audience that there are a reasonable number of people who would just prefer that the housekeeper not come into their room. I was just in Palm Springs with a group this week, and the hotel, the Margaritaville Hotel, did a room refresh each day, except it was kind of interesting. They came in, you know, a room refresh generally is make the beds, take out the trash, give you some clean towels. Well, in this case, they piled all the dirty towels in the corner and didn't leave any clean ones, which was kind of interesting. I thought that was that perhaps would be described as a partial refresh. But a couple of people in the group expressed dissatisfaction that someone had come into their room and they thought, gee, I would prefer that they not come in there. You know, when this whole opt-out of housekeeping thing started before COVID, if you remember, Chris, for a couple of years, some hotels would say, hey, we'll give you 2,000 points, or we'll give you, you know, a $5 credit in the snack bar or a free cocktail or whatever it was. There was some minor incentive if you didn't take housekeeping. And of course, like I said, there are a percentage of people who would just as soon tidy up and look after themselves or don't want someone else in their room. So they're very happy with that. Now, of course, post-COVID, that's a little different situation. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we got back into something where some of these things, housekeeping, resort fees and this stuff and things did become something that actually benefited hotels that have figured out another way rather than just nickeling and diming their customers?
You can easily put a do not disturb sign on your room and they won't come in and they won't service it. That's easy. What I have a problem with is the hotel making you opt out of housekeeping. It's really disgusting. I've been in hotels where the housekeeping won't come for 2 or 3 days and the trash starts to pile up and I don't know what to do with the trash. There's no trash bin to send everything to, or the towels are starting to pile up on the floor. So I just think that this is one of the more disgusting trends in the lodging industry. It's only there for one reason now, and that is that the hotels are trying to save money and maximize profits. So my point is that hotels should be cleaning your rooms every day. If you want to opt out, that's fine. Put the little sign out front, and you just save the environment or something like that.
You mentioned in your article that in Los Angeles, the city council passed a measure back last year requiring mm-hmm. daily housekeeping at most hotels.
Yeah, yeah. The unions were behind that one, and the city council had an amendment that said daily housekeeping is required. And when this story came out in USA Today, they actually got onto Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it now and repeated or retweeted the story, which was nice of them. But yeah, they're very supportive of that. I mean, this is, I can understand why the housekeepers union would want this, because it protects their jobs, but it really is a question of sanitation. And we don't want to have unsanitary hotel rooms. We don't want to have laundry or sheets piling up or trash piling up in the rooms over 3 or 4 days. And that's really, during the pandemic, that is what happened. I mean, I've stayed in some extended stay places where they only do housekeeping once a week unless you request it. So interesting for your listeners, if you are in a hotel where they do this and they make housekeeping optional or they automatically opt you out of it, is ask them when you check in about housekeeping, how often do you do housekeeping? And if they only do it once every 2 or 3 days, you can say, I'd like it done every day, and they should be able to arrange that for you.
Our special guest here on the Travel Guys, Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate and a friend of the Travel Guys, and on the road most of his life. It's certainly recently. Where are you speaking from today, Chris? I know recently I heard your podcast and saw the pictures. You were at the in the Galapagos Islands on board the, what was it, the Santa Cruz 2. Where are you today?
It's at Santa Cruz 2, yeah. Yeah, I was in the Galapagos for about 10 days, and now I'm in Santiago, Chile. So we're here enjoying the nice South American Southern Hemisphere summer, and I'm going to be touring the country for the next 3 or so weeks, and then we'll see. We're hoping to make it to Argentina, but the situation there is a little dicey right now, so we might detour and go to Uruguay instead.
Chris, give us some impressions about the Galapagos. Was that your first visit, a return visit? We have a group at Sports Leisure Vacations headed there later this year. It's an environmentally sensitive area. More people are going. What were some of your reactions?
I like the Galapagos a lot. So it's a highly protected area, as you mentioned, very sensitive. And so the vessels are usually small that go there. You can't have a vessel with more than 100 passengers on it. And only 3% of the national park is accessible to people. So it's most of it's closed off. What you need to know about going there right now is that they do have some avian flu. So some of the more popular places are closed off. And if you're on a longer cruise, you might repeat. So you might go to the same island twice just because some of the other islands are closed off to humans. But it is beautiful. It is truly, it's like visiting another planet. The animals are, I've never seen anything like it. The iguanas, the sea lions, the flamingos, the turtles, and they have no fear of the people at all. And there's also just a lot of very interesting history, especially if you pay attention in your high school biology class, relating to the theory of evolution. So Darwin spent a lot of time here, and people, talk a lot about his contributions and what he meant to this place as well. It's fascinating. I would love to go, but I tell you what, if I did go back, I would probably go back on a much smaller vessel and see if I could get out there into some parts of the park that people don't normally go through.
One of the things I thought most fascinating, and Mark, for your travelers, it seemed that most of the islands that you visited, when you had to take a dinghy, a boat, whatever, to the island, and you had what you referred to as a wet landing, meaning that you don't get off on a pier and
yes,
walk on, you get off in the water. So they better make sure, Mark, that your
people right,
bring wet shoes that's for walking in water.
Stylish heels for walking underwater.
Oh, let me tell you, you don't want to forget those, because if you just have, otherwise you're going to be going in barefoot, which is what my son and I did a couple of times. That was not fun.
Wow. All right. Christopher Elliott is on the other, literally on the other end of the planet from where we are. It is always good to talk to you, my friend. You and your son, behave yourselves, take care, and we will check in with you after the new year.
All right, guys, happy holidays.
All right, always exciting, fun, great information. Enjoy having Chris Elliott as a regular here with the Travel Guys. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And not only do we talk about travel, entertainment is high on the list of things that we like to discuss and make you smarter about. This year, it's back out to Cal Expo, where the Imaginarium has started up. And our special guest is the media director for the Imaginarium, Darla Givens. Darla, thank you for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, what is the Imaginarium?
Imaginarium is exactly how it sounds. Let your imagination run wild with more than 5 million lights across about 5 acres of Calexico near the Heart Health Park. And we have large silk displays that are lit up. Just anything that you can imagine. This year's theme is called Holiday Lights, Fairy Tale Delights. So it takes you back to your childhood memory with all of your favorite princes and princesses. So a lot of fun for everybody.
Now, this is a walkthrough event. Tell me a little bit about some of the features that folks can participate in and things they can do.
Yes, this is a walkthrough adventure, and we have 35 different zones that you can see. This year, we have a nod to The Wizard of Oz. So you'll see this really big green display of the Emerald City, and you'll have the poppies and flowers and wheat grasses leading you on a path and a trail to the Emerald City. You'll have Dorothy there. You'll have the lion, the scarecrow next to a giant heart. Because if you remember the story, the Tin Man wanted a heart. That's
right.
All he wanted. And he's standing next to that giant heart.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, things to do.
Things to do. Get your camera ready, your phone ready for those shots, the perfect shot for Instagram. There are 12 selfie rooms this year. Those are all new, all differently decorated in different colors. And also 7 infinity mirror rooms. And it's like a kaleidoscope of mirrors that just go on for days. And one of the fun ones, we have these lights that stream from the ceiling to the ground, and they're balls. And so you walk through this maze of lights. It's the coolest thing. And you see these kids getting mesmerized with it. This year also is Cirque Legacy. It's a circus. It runs 3 times per night. It's a half-hour show. And you have clowns, contortionists, aerialists that perform on the silks, and hula hoop artists as well. So something for everybody.
Cool. I understand you have an ice skating rink.
The ice skating rink is there. It's a feature. You can't have a winter wonderland without an ice skating rink. And, of course, with the ice skating rink, it's an additional fee. And you also have to reserve your time slot also for the skate on the ice.
Any chance there might be a meet and greet with the jolly guy?
Yes, Santa Claus is there. He is under the clear tent that houses the selfie rooms and also the infinity mirrors. And so you can get your picture taken with Santa. We have Carnival. The Carnival rides have been expanded this year, as well as the Carnival games.
That's great. All right. Our special guest, Darla Givens, she's with the Imaginarium running out at Cal Expo now through January 7th. So if you've got guests coming from out of town to spend with you for the holidays, what a great, great outing this would be. Don't tell them much about it. Just get your tickets and surprise them. I guarantee you they will not be disappointed. Give me some hours, and what does this cost?
That's right. So the hours right now, starting on Monday, we're going to be open every single day from 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock on Monday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be open from 5 p.m. until 11 p.m. And we're even open Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day.
Marvelous, marvelous. By the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com, we'll have a link to the Imaginarium and all that Darla has been talking about. So if you didn't get a chance to jot it down there, once again, travelguysradio.com. Darla, it's always special to have you with us, and good luck with the Imaginarium. Look forward to seeing you out there.
Thank you.
So, Thomas, yeah. I noticed you asked her what the prices were, but she didn't quite get to that, so I thought we should tell folks what it's going to cost to go out there, because it ain't necessarily cheap. If you're going to take a family of 4, let's see, adult admissions are $21. This is just for the lights. Let's see, the ice rink. Kids are $17. There is a service, $3 service fee on each of those tickets. There's a family pack, $76. We'll get in a family of 4 plus $12 in service fees, so let's call it $88. A ride wristband is $35. Ice rink is $12. So, and there are different admission prices for during the week as opposed to the weekend. And my recommendation to you is, if you're thinking about this at all, Monday, Tuesday nights it's going to rain, but Wednesday or Thursday would be a way better choice than next Friday or Saturday, for sure.
Right, and keep in mind, this lasts all the way till January 7th. So, you know, if weather certain times may be an issue, you got a lot of time to be able to catch an evening where the weather would be not raining. I have actually gone to that event in the rain, and you don't really want to do that if you don't have to.
No, I'm thinking probably not. But, and as you mentioned, Tom, the ride wristbands and the like, I mean, the kids are going to be out of school and things, so you could go out there and wear the kids out for hours and then see the lights and go home and tuck them into bed. So, you know, maybe it's not such a bad idea after all. She did a great job of telling people all about all the things that are out at Cal Expo. So if for you or your family, why, head on out. All right.
Okay. Yeah, we're nearing the home stretch. Mark, I know you got a couple of items you want to cover, so let's get to it.
I got a couple things here. A plane fueled by nothing more than fat and sugar crossed the Atlantic Ocean at the end of November. Virgin Atlantic said the test flight from London to New York was powered only by sustainable aviation fuel. So it cuts down 70% less carbon emissions than standard kerosene-based fuels. It landed at JFK Airport in New York. This is really interesting to note. Sustainable aviation fuel makes up less than 1%, only a little over a tenth of 1% of all the fuel used on the planet. Aviation fuel is in the top 20 of things that pollute the planet. We want to keep traveling. It would behoove us to figure out a way to turn soap suds into aviation fuel or whatever else it takes.
Right. Well, powered by fats and sugar. Sounds like me. I'm pretty much and caffeine, as I have some coffee here.
Don't make me laugh. I've still got that horrible cough that a lot of folks
powered
are on.
Powered by fat and sugar.
Back into the cold. Okay, hey, listen. If you're going to travel, here is one tip to help you stay a little bit healthier. I have observed that at least half of the men coming out of the men's room do not go to the sink and wash their hands before leave the restroom. So
horrified.
I'm going to suggest to you that restrooms are not the cleanest places to start with, so please wash your hands. My rule whenever I'm traveling, my rule is anytime I see one of those hand sanitizers, you know, where you can stick your hand under it and just get a little glob and wash off your hands, if I haven't done it in the last 20 or 30 minutes, I just do it. And that's just become habit for me, so that's not a bad habit to, but my goodness, when you're using the facilities, do everyone a favor and make sure that you wash your hands. I realize that it seems like second nature to most people, but I will tell you, I've been in airports a lot over the last month, and I'm telling you, I don't know what it's like in the ladies' room, but at least half of the guys come out without ever washing their hands.
And guys, we're shaming you because we're watching whether you wash your hands or not.
We're trying, because this doesn't impact only you if you stick your fingers in your mouth or something like that, but it impacts all the rest of us because you're going to touch all those common surfaces all the time. Speaking of common surfaces, Mr. Romano, as you were almost doing, next week one of our stories is going to be about what are the dirtiest spots on an airplane. We've done this before, but it's been a while. And what do you think is the dirtiest spot on an airplane?
Oh, we're not saving it till next week? Okay.
Well, I just thought I'd ask. I'm not going to give them the whole list, but I'm just asking.
I always go with the tray, the drop-down tray in front of you that people change their babies on when you're not looking.
Heaven forbid. I will tell you that made the top five.
Okay.
It's not the lead one, but it made the top five. So next week, dirtiest spots on an airplane. In the meantime, I wish you a very happy holiday season. We will be with you next Saturday. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Thanks for joining us, my friends. Stay well. We'll see you next week, 11 a.m., here on The Travel Guys.
He never has the time to turn around.